Over the next 3 weeks here on World Roots, we're celebrating the music of Carnival. From its origins in the sugarcane fields of the rural northeast to the glitz and glamour of Rio de Janeiro. In the northeast, I'll be meeting some of the region's best traditional musicians. Going to the island where the local school dinner lady does this in her spare time. Recording one of Rio's most decorated and most elderly samba bands. Finding out what it means to be a mangue boy in downtown Recife. Hanging out in Rio's largest and most dangerous favela.
Favelas are controlled by drug lords. Oh, great. And drug lords...
As well as attending one of Rio's first samba rehearsals in the run-up to Carnival.
Frankly, I don't know how there's a single person left in this country that has eardrums.
I'll take a lesson on this instrument.
Since I got better, okay.
Meet this lady.
Thank you.
Take in the nightlife of Rio.
So we're just walking into the club now, and it is absolutely packed. And guess what? This is the first song that was ever recorded of samba.
Via, of course, Ipanema Beach.
Está em você que o amor gerou. Ele vai nascer e há de ser.
But I'm going to start here, in a field near Recife, the capital of Pernambuco State. My guide, whilst I'm in the northeast of Brazil, is Paulo André.
All around us, as far as I can see, is sugarcane. And Paulo, if we're going to talk about the music of this part of Brazil, Pernambuco, in the northeast, well, a sugarcane field seems a good place to start.
Oh yeah, Pernambuco has a strong relation, Lucy, with sugarcane on our music, on our food, even the kind of work that these people who work on the sugarcane fields do hasn't changed much. You know, it's not that we still have slaves, no, but the way that these rich people behave also looks like they still have the same old power. Pernambuco still pays a very high price for this sort of culture. Man owning the land, a lot of people working for them almost for free. We still have that in our culture, and it's not a good thing.
Well, these fields all around us actually look really beautiful. There's a texture to the sugarcane, which is very high. It's much, much taller than you and me. But there's a beautiful texture to it from far away. It has a kind of a velvety look, and it shimmers as it sways in the breeze. That kind of lush and soft look actually hides a really ugly and violent history.
This is the bad thing about it, Lucy, but you're going to be shortly seeing the good side of it, which is these people who worked all their lives in sugarcane plantation, they were always related to what we call our popular culture, cultura popular. They would wait the whole week to, on the weekend, celebrate their way playing music like maracatu, you know, like cavalo marinho. And it's sort of a resistance, and they keep the tradition alive. You're gonna see, and it goes from grandfather to father to son, grandson.
Just down the road from us, Paulo, through the fields, is an enormous sugarcane factory. And we've been seeing these huge articulated lorries going by, 30-meter lorries with three trailers, what they call the treminhão here, piled with freshly cut sugarcane, which has been burnt. Just to look at the sheer size of these fields, I mean, how do people cut it with their hands still today? That's the way this is processed. It's incredible.
It's still this way. People working with their hands, long sleeve shirts so that the sugarcane don't hurt them. You can see when you look at these people's face that they look much older than they are because of the sun.
So, Paulo, these very beautiful fields of sugarcane have produced some of Brazil's and Pernambuco, this state's most vibrant music, and we're going to be hearing some of that. And also, we'll hear how that music has inspired music in the city as well.
Yes, most of this Afro music from Pernambuco was developed with the slaves that worked on the sugarcane fields, so it has a very strong relation, like maracatu rural, cavalo marinho, coco. They were all Afro-Brazilian rhythms developed by slaves, and they kept this tradition going right up to today.
Agora tô no comando com meu corte de apito.
Meu terno batendo quente e a orquestra faz bonito. E eu cantando de improviso, vamos ver se sai meu grito. Meu terceiro verso, sem errar não tem pra quê.
Lá vai meu terceiro verso, sem errar não tem pra quê.
Isto foi feito pra rua, de graça sem ter cachê. E esta tarde eu estou fazendo pra turma da BBC.
What a wonderful sound. That is the sound of maracatu, which is a special music from here, from Pernambuco State up in northeast Brazil. And this is Siba, who's the champion of maracatu with his band Floresta. And we're here in this place outside Nazaré da Mata, where you live, Siba. It's a wonderful location to hear this music because it's very, very rural. We're in real countryside here, and cows are coming in. there are bareback riders bringing them in, herding them in, and there are chickens around. Actually, we're in a cowshed, an open cowshed, with a very tall pitched roof. The smell of cow dung is quite overwhelming, but the acoustic is so wonderful that never mind. Anyway, it's just great to be here with you, Siva. You're one of the people that I most wanted to see up here in Pernambuco. So that piece of music that we just heard, tell us about that.
I was singing improvised, in six lines improvised with rhymes. And
I think I'm right in saying that you were improvising a song for the BBC.
Yeah, I think so. I don't remember more what I said, but...
Really? No, seriously?
The thing is that, yes.
Is that how it works with maracatu? You just improvise and you don't
really remember?
Yes, because
you try to feel the moment and then you go on. Maracatu de Baxoto, it's first of all, it's poetry, then music. Everything I do, in fact, all these styles we're going to hear are first of all poetic styles.
Explain about maracatu, because it's just up here in the northeast.
Yes.
What exactly is maracatu?
This is part of a carnival procession and represents a nation going to war.
What does the name mean, maracatu?
These traditions in the past were not called maracatu. Maracatu in the past was a bad word used for the people who didn't like it to say any noisy and strange black people or poor people meeting with music. They call it maracatu. There's a maracatu there. So don't go there.
Ah.
But when the time goes on, and then maracatu became the word to call these things. All these rhythms, especially this rhythm of maracatu, we play this in the same way you will listen in any traditional rehearsal you do here.
Or what you call a rehearsal maracatu, is really like a party.
It's a party, all-night party, that begins at 10 and finishes with the sun in the morning.
So it's a carnival music, really?
Yes.
Designed to keep you on your feet?
Yes, yes. But it's important to know that before a carnival, just now, it's beginning now, every Saturday, there are parties all night, that the poets come to sing, and poets from other cities come to sing. And there's a very important part of this that we call sambada, which is the meeting of two groups to the challenging of poetry. So this only happens sometimes, like once, twice a year.
But the sambada, that word, nothing to do with samba, like the samba of Rio?
No. Because the word samba for us here is used to all these rhythms and parties in the streets with music. We call all this samba.
So
samba is not
like
the rhythm, it's the party
it's
itself.
It's the context.
Yes.
Will you play something different for us now?
Yes, it's frevo. Frevo is originally a rhythm from Recife that comes from an older one that we call marcha, which is a carnival rhythm from Brazil. And it's called o bloco da bicharada.
What does
that
mean?
Means the animals in a kind of a carnival procession.
So now we're going to hear Siba with his band Floresta in this cowshed in the countryside outside Nazaré da Mata, where Siba lives. And they're going to do a song for the animals. And it's very appropriate because there are just loads of animals all around us.
Okay, vamos lá, menino, fazer o bloco da bicharada aí. A gente aí pega aí o bombo tarol aí, vamos lá. Bloco da bicharada.
Papagaio estando com fome, seu dedo ele come bolacha o pão.
Meu papagaio tá louco, fome, seu dedo ele come
bolacha o pão. Tem a razão, inteligente, não fala tudo que sente, mas aprende palavrão. Galinha só pra panela, sua mazela é a fome do povo.
E a galinha só pra panela, sua mazela é a fome do povo.
E o galo novo quer saber ligeiro, veio primeiro se foi ela ou foi o ovo. mata com uma pulga chata na sua costela.
Devo lhe uma rede ingrata, uma pulga chata na sua costela.
Morde a canela, pula pra pança, e é uma moça que cansa, mas não acaba com ela.
That was another wonderful carnival piece. That was a frevo, which is the style from Recife, the particular carnival music from Recife, which is where we are. Well, we're outside Recife. We're about 40 kilometers outside Recife. The band are playing in this cowshed. I'm beginning to forget that it smells very strongly of cow dung, because it doesn't matter, because the music is so great. And that's Siba and his group Floresta. Great sound, Siba. Just love this music. Is it easy to get this music heard? Is it easy to get it played?
It's really difficult, especially here in Northeast. But in the whole Brazil, the radio are really closer to the diversity of music that we have in Brazil. So we have a few very commercial styles, and everything is a lot about money. And so it's difficult to hear the music from Brazil now, in Brazil.
But it's strange, really, because the Northeast is the part of Brazil that's always inspiring musicians all around the country. So many musicians are drawing on these forms, like maracatu that we heard you play earlier on. Why doesn't it get heard?
In the end, it's always money and power. So few people control the media, especially here in Northeast. Few people have the concert houses, the radios. They own the bands, so they make everything. They make profits from the whole process.
You've got just very few people who run the whole kind of music industry.
That's what happens, yes.
Up here. It's great to look at your band, Siba. I mean, some of them are quite elderly. The percussionist in particular looks very elderly. And, you know, they're wearing either a cloth cap or a straw hat. Great collection of hats in your band. But they really look as though they're farmers. They're connected to the land. Is that true?
The other guys of the group, all of them used to be workers in the rural, in the sugarcane industry. So they have done all the jobs they could. Some of them are retired now, others are retiring, and they are musicians in the other side of the moon.
One of the songs that I've heard from a recording of you, Siba, that immediately was striking and made me sit up because it's a very powerful melody, is a song called Vale do Juca. I'd really like to ask you to play that, but would you tell me about it?
Well, Vale do Juca, it's a song about a person looking for his own ancestrality, his own past. Only the movement you do to look for it make you strong.
I really can't wait to hear this song. And Siva's going to play it with his band, Floresta, right here in the cowshed, in the countryside, outside the town where he lives in Pernambuco State. Siba, let's hear your song. Oh, Siba, by the way, one more thing. Why are you called Siba?
Here in Northeast we have a very little and black bird called Sibito Baleado. People use the name of this bird to put nicknames in people that are thin or weak or something like this.
So what, you were thin and weak. Now you're tall and strong.
And then the girls changed it to only Siba. That was better. And was something good that they did to me before they began to make me trouble.
Before the women started tormenting
yes,
you.
Yes, it was before all this. Bora, menino, começa aí. Valeu, Juca. Bora, bora, bora.
Era um caminho quase sem pegadas, onde tantas madrugadas folhas serenaram. Era uma estrada, muitas curvas tortas, quantas passagens e portas ali se ocultaram. Era uma linha sem começo e fim, e as flores desse jardim meus avós plantaram. E era uma voz, um vento, um sussurro, relâmpago, trovão e murro dos que se lembraram. Uma palavra quase sem sentido, um tapa no pé do ouvido, todos escutaram. Um grito mudo perguntando aonde nossa lembrança se esconde, meus avós gritaram. E era uma dança, quase uma miragem, cada gesto uma imagem dos que se ocultaram. Um movimento, um traquejo forte, traçado, risco e recorte, se descortinaram. Uma semente no meio da poeira, chão da lavoura primeira, meus avós plantaram. Uma pancada, um ronco, um estralo, de outro pés e um cavalo, guerreiros brincaram. Quase uma queda, quase uma descida, uma seta arremetida, e as mãos se apertaram. Era uma festa, chegada e partida, saudações e despedida, meus avós choraram.
Paulo, I so enjoyed Siva. It doesn't sound anything like one stereotyped idea of Brazilian music.
He is a medium class guy that started as a musician doing music, but went deep on our traditions, meeting masters of maracatu and cavalo marinho. And the funny thing is that a lot of people call Siba mestre, and he's not really a mestre.
He doesn't. Mestre means maestro.
Master. And he's not, because he's not old enough. But the importance of the job he's doing and the people he's now going on stage with are the real masters.
I didn't mention it while we were there, but there was a float, there was a carnival float inside the cowshed. A very important reminder that a lot of the music in the northeast of Brazil is in some way associated with carnival. And the great carnival in the northeast is the carnival of Olinda, the historic town outside Recife. And that's where we are right now. We're at one of the seven hills of Olinda, with the sea in front of us, this beautiful old colonial church to one side. There are stalls, food stalls selling tapioca. It's a lovely kind of fair-like atmosphere, warm breeze, gorgeous.
This is Olinda, and it's very different from the carnival days, because on the carnival days you have music all over the city, but much more than the music, people, you know. And I guess Olinda and Recife also has the most democratic carnival in Brazil. These days in Salvador, for example, with Axé music, the carnival became something very, very commercial. In Rio, to watch the samba schools, you'd have to pay.
And here, the atmosphere is much more spontaneous, where people dress up every day with a different character, and everything is free. You don't have to pay for anything.
That's why you say it's democratic.
Because you only need Yes, that's right. You only need the money for the beer and for water.
It's so beautiful, Olinda. The name Olinda is to do with its beauty.
Olinda comes from Oh Beautiful. Mauricio de Nassau came in a hill of Olinda, looked down and said, Oh Beautiful, Olinda. The phrase was, Oh Beautiful situation to build up a city. Olinda situação para uma cidade.
Well, Paulo and I are strolling up one of the little side streets of Olinda. Cobbled streets, small buildings with pastel-colored walls. Quite a lot of them are in pretty poor condition, fading and crumbling. And this breeze coming off the Atlantic. Let's just stop for a second and have a look at the view because, oh, during Carnival, for instance, this really steep street that we're on, they'll actually come up this street dancing.
Dancing and running after frevo orchestras and blocos. I think Olinda's Carnival is one of the wildest parties on earth.
Yeah, I was here some years ago just before Carnival, and even the lead up to Carnival was pretty wild. I remember standing on one of these streets and a group of dancers just suddenly came out of nowhere, and it was as if I was being hit by a tidal wave. And I think if I just stood in the middle of the street, they just would have walked over me.
Oh, yeah.
It's as if they were almost in a trance.
It is. Amazing.
Paulo, so tell me what we're going to hear.
Seu Luiz Paixão, Passion Luiz. He worked all his life on sugarcane fields, but he was connected to our cultura popular, as we say, our popular culture, the culture of the real people of Brazil. Played on the rabeca, which is like a popular fiddle.
Because rabeca, we have an instrument from
the
medieval period, which was called the rabec. Originally, it's a Moorish instrument.
For sure.
When the Portuguese first settled here, that was in the early 1500s.
Yeah, 1500.
And they had been under Moorish rule until very recently before that. So they will have still had a lot of Moorish culture.
And they brought it here for sure. There's a lot of influence of this culture here.
And what kinds of things are we likely to hear?
It's a kind of music that it's not commercial in Brazil. You don't hear it on the radio. But it's a very original music done only in the Zona da Mata, which is, we are right now on the seaside. And then if you go inland, the first area that we hit is the sugarcane plantation area, the Zona da Mata, where also Ceiba comes from. And what he does is the music from the region, you know, played in a very simple way, but I should say it's the real music of Brazil.
Yeah.
this music just has a great feeling to it. It's like hearing country music. It's like hearing music from several centuries ago from the deep countryside of Portugal. But then it's mixed with so many other things, so many things that are just specific to this corner of Brazil. That's a musician called Luis Paixão. The style of music, well, the name translates as seahorse, but for some reason it doesn't have anything to do with seahorses. So I hope that Luis will be able to explain this to me. The style in Portuguese is called Cavalo Marinho, and the piece that we just heard was São Gonçalo do Amarante. Luis, can you explain exactly what Cavalo Marinho is?
With the seahorse parties, we get to work in many towns. It's different now, though. I used to play every weekend all over the northeast region of Brazil. We used to be so excited, and I would ask God for the weekend to come so I could play this music. I was never.
My quest to get to the bottom of this seahorse tradition of music and storytelling wasn't going very well. Luis Paixão was a modest man, and as we sat in a small art studio at the top of Olinda's steepest hill, with the light fading while a tropical storm approached, he explained that he was just a rabeca player, not a master, and it was only a master who could really explain about the seahorses. All he was going to give away was that the tradition had something to do with the slaves. "I'm more qualified to play the music than to speak about it," he protested. I asked Luis about his transition from sugarcane worker to professional musician.
I was born in a mill in the countryside, and my job was to cut sugarcane. I became a professional musician 14 years ago, and now I just play the rabeca and carry on with life. I started to work with the young musician and actress Renata Rosa and her band, and in 2005 I founded my own band. I thank God that I have a very good producer. In fact, it's that girl over there with her hair all over the place. I'm very happy with her. Well, Luis mentioned with great affection his manager, whose name is Lia Menezes, and indeed she's the person who's brought us here to this workshop, this lovely workshop in Olinda. And she's sitting here with me on this bench where, in fact, the musicians were sitting. I think the bench must have something to do with the music, because, Lia, you were telling me earlier on that the name of the music
for the Cavallo Marinho, for the seahorse music, is actually called O Banco, the bench.
O Banco...
The connection with the bench is that they perform Cavallo Marinho on the bench during a party. The Cavallo Marinho groups would bring their own bench for the musicians to sit on and perform. It also dictates the lineup of the ensemble on the bench, with the rabeca first, then the pandeiro or tambourine, the haku or wooden scraper, the ganzá, a metal shaker, and the voice.
Leah, can you explain what Cavallo Marinho is?
Cavallo Marinho... É dança, música e representação. É teatro, na verdade.
Cavallo Marinho is music, dance and theater. It's basically a popular play that is performed on the street in the open air with the musicians accompanying on the bench. The characters would change after each musical interlude.
And why is it called Seahorse?
Bom, esse nome, ele não tem uma... Uma especificação.
The name doesn't really have a meaning, but the seahorse's tradition has something to do with Christmas. It relates to the Catholic Church, brought here by the Portuguese, and so it talks a lot about saints and about crossing the ocean towards this land. Also, people say that the three wise men were accompanied by the musicians and that they were playing the rabeca in the desert. In the music theater fantasy, there are three categories of characters: humans, animals, and mystical creatures. The seahorse tradition only really existed to reward the rural workers. Entertainment, in other words. It would pass from father to son and is an oral tradition. The parties would last 12, 15, 18 hours and were an essential part of life for rural workers of the north.
Is Cavallo Marinho, the seahorse tradition, is it a thriving tradition?
It's not so alive these days. For many years, it was approaching extinction until the 90s, when a new generation of musicians looked to the tradition and reoxygenated it. But it's still not as prevalent as it used to be many years ago in terms of its relationship with the real people of Brazil. A lot of these traditions have religious links, and there has been a lot of religious prejudice amongst the middle classes of Brazil. Now it's the younger kids who are performing this music, and they look at it as something cool and valuable. Having said this, there are not many real masters of the actual tradition left. Luis is really important, because he has lived his life within this tradition. He's a legend of Cavallo Marinho, and we must give thanks that he is now dedicating his time to the music, rather than the hard labor of sugarcane.
World Roots. I'm Lucy Duran, and to celebrate Carnival in a couple of weeks' time, we're in Brazil for three programs going behind the scenes of the preparations for the world's biggest party. This week, we're in the northeast of the country, in Pernambuco State, recording some of the musical styles that make up the carnival soundtrack. Standing on one of Olinda's seven hills, you get a stunning view of Recife, and the contrast is quite startling. From the crumbling colonial beauty of Olinda, the distant skyline of Recife is a mind-boggling sea of skyscrapers and modern architecture. And from this distance, it looks like a pretty well-developed metropolis, but the gleaming new buildings are misleading. Half of Recife's population live in the slums, or favelas, as they're known in Brazil. A U.S. report back in the 1990s even ranked Recife as the fourth worst city in terms of violence and poverty in the world, with the highest level of unemployment in Brazil. Things have improved to some extent, and out of those dark days grew a cultural movement which sought to better the lives and reputation of the people who live here. That movement was called Mangue Beat. The origins of Mangue Beat relate to Recife's geographical situation. It's a city built on a giant network of mangrove swamps. The mangrove's branches grow down into the river, which makes the water murky, hiding a rich ecosystem that exists in the mud below, a metaphor for life here in Recife. In 1992, musicians from two influential bands in Recife, Nassau Zumbi and Mundo Livre, published the Mangue Beat Manifesto, which drew on life in the swamps as an example to the people of Recife. And at the heart of this manifesto was the combination of organic traditions, such as the ones we've been recording, together with modern technology. The beat of Mangue Beat is actually spelt B-I-T, a reference to the computer technology central to the movement's influences. Segura essa levada, segura o maracatu. 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 Mangrove. In downtown Recife, there's a monument to the Mangue Beat movement. It's a giant metal crab. And that crab represents the fertility of life below the surface of the swamp, a hidden but important culture. My guide, Paulo André, was the manager of the musician who's probably become most closely associated with the Mangue Beat movement. Standing next to the crab and surrounded by waterways and mangrove swamps, I asked him about Chico Science, an inspirational figure, the first Mangue boy, who died age 31 in a car accident on the road between Olinda and Recife.
I can tell you I couldn't imagine a Recife without Chico Science. You know, I have no idea what this place would have been like these days if he didn't exist.
O menina, o menina, o menina, oh! O menina, o menina, o menina, oh! O menina, o menina!
Chico Science, he's a great example for the young people in Pernambuco of a guy who didn't have money, didn't came from a wealthy family, but became famous all over the world. When you talk about Brazilian music, there's no way you can miss his name. He was such a revolutionary guy, and it was, you know, his death was something that shocked everybody because he only had two albums released. Maybe Brazil wasn't prepared for Chico Science's music because he didn't get the right attention that he deserved, especially in radios all over Brazil, not even in Recife.
Why not? Because you're, on the one hand, you're saying that Chico Science revolutionized the music scene, but then here in Brazil, but then you're saying that he didn't get the proper credit that he deserved.
I think basically, Lucy, because he was ahead of his time, and people didn't get it.
was a great character. His friends made fun of him when he came for the first time dressed as a Mangue boy. He had like flowered shorts. You know, he had a hat that had this funny look.
Yeah, almost like a little straw helmet or something, a bit like the cowboy hats.
And also he had socks almost on his knees. A kind of look that was very original. And he said, yeah, man, this is the Mangue boy look. And, you know, from now on, I'm a Mangue boy.
The thing is, Shiko Science and the Mangue Beat movement completely re-energized the music scene here in Recife.
Oh, for sure. I can tell you, Lucy, there is Recife before and after Mangue. That's for sure. Completely changed the city. Didn't change in a way that I would like to see, you know, radios here continues to ignore our music, traditional or contemporary music. This is very sad because our music is all over the world and it's unbelievable. For the people who live outside Recife and Pernambuco, they don't believe that our own music is ignored in our own city, in our own state, in our own land.
Well, this is a really stunning beach we're on, but it's very, very windy and there's a storm brewing up. There are huge grey clouds. Even though it's a really beautiful beach, it has a sort of sense of decay. It doesn't really feel like it's what it could be, which would be, you know, a really top resort. Well, we're on the island of Itamaracá, which is about an hour's drive north from Olinda. It's a place which has a special singer, and we're in front of her cultural center. Her name is Lia de Itamaracá. Paulo, you were saying that she's been named Cultural Heritage of Pernambuco State by the Brazilian government. So I guess she's a very important singer.
She is. She's the biggest name of this style called ciranda. And I guess I'm a very lucky man because, as you said, Itamaracá, unfortunately, is very decadent for what it was, for example, in the 70s, where medium-class families like mine would rent small houses here. In case of my family, it was like a fisherman's house that we rented to spend the weekends here. And it was mostly medium-class people coming to stay for the summer. And when you think of Itamaracá, you think of Lia.
Okay, it's pouring, beginning to pour with rain.
Yeah.
So we better get up and go in, quickly. Well, we've come out of the rain, where we've taken shelter next to Lia de Itamaracá's cultural center, which actually is like a bar with a thatched area. And there are plenty of people sitting there waiting to hear her. Right now on stage, there's an Afoxé group. Afoxé is another style, an Afro style from the northeast of Brazil. Tell me, Paulo, about the ciranda, because I've seen lots of little ceramic figures who are dancing the ciranda, and they're all holding hands.
Just like frevo, forró, and maracatu, is both a dance and a rhythm. This is what we call ciranda praeira, which is ciranda of the seaside. And Lia is the greatest name of this style of ciranda. She's a diva, like an African queen. She's taller than me. She's a beautiful lady.
She's a dinner lady as well. When she's not singing ciranda, that's her job.
Yes, she does food for a little kids' school here in Itamaracá. She's an employee of the city of Itamaracá, working for the kids' school. She had her first album recorded, I think, in 1977, and she was completely forgotten then. She got back performing, recording again after 98. She got her record released in Europe, She toured Europe. She has been doing a lot of stuff in the recent years. She even now has her own cultural place right by the beach here in Itamaracá, where we are right now.
And I know she has one famous song that goes, Esta ciranda que me do foi Lia. This
yes.
ciranda was given to me by Lia,
yes.
Lia of Itamaracá, who lives on the island,
of
on the
Itamaracá.
Island of Itamaracá. Itamaracá, and that was a wonderful session that we had there, hearing Lia do her ciranda, her famous song. That ciranda was given to me by Lia, Lia of Itamaracá. And Lia looks amazing. As you say, Paulo, she's about 6 foot tall. She's wearing a sky blue tight t-shirt with an image of the Virgin Mary, looking incredibly glamorous, looking like a Hollywood star, with a long flowing gown that comes out of the sea. So that is Yemaya, that's the deity of the sea, the Orisha of the sea.
Back in 98, when I was doing the sixth edition of my festival.
Abril Pro Rock.
Yeah, Abril Pro Rock. Even though it's mostly a rock and pop music festival, since the first edition, we've always had some roots music. And I came here in Itamaracá looking for Lia. She recorded that album in 77 and she completely disappeared. Been working all this year at the school and I came here looking for her and I found her. It was a huge success. I remember a journalist from São Paulo. This guy was impressed to see the young kids who were there for the rock, you know, giving hands to each other and dancing ciranda in maybe 5-6 different circles of ciranda. And in the end of the concert, he came up to me and said, Paulo, you know what, man? I realize now that that was a rave. Electronic music is not a rave. That was a rave. And I said, yeah, man, you know, we have this tradition of doing this, using our traditional music inside the festival, not only to promote them, but to give the right value to the music. I know what these people suffered along their lives to keep
keep the tradition alive.
Era uma dança, quase uma miragem. Cada gesto, uma imagem dos que se ocultaram. Um movimento, um traquejo forte, traçado, risco e recorte, se descortinaram. Uma semente no meio da poeira, chão da lavoura primeira. Meus avós plantaram uma pancada, um ronco, um estralo, de tropéis e um cavalo. Guerreiros brincaram, quase uma queda, quase uma descida, uma seta arremetida, e as mãos se apertaram. Era uma festa, chegada e partida, saudações e despedida, meus avós choraram. Onde estará aquele passo tonto e as armas para o confronto? Onde se ocultarão? E o lampejo da luz estupenda que atravessou a fenda e tantos enxergaram. Ah, se eu pudesse só por um segundo rever os portões do mundo que os avós criaram.